Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Genesis chapter number 24. I'm going to try my best to conclude this chapter tonight. This will be the third message out of Genesis chapter number 24 that I've preached, and I want to try my best to conclude it tonight if the Lord would help us. Man, I love it. Amen. Genesis 24 is just dynamite. There's a lot of good things that's happening here. When you come to Genesis 24, give me just 5 minutes to review. But when you come to Genesis chapter number 24, we know that the servant is sent out to find Isaac a bride. Abraham sends the servant out to find Isaac a bride. And in doing so, the servant, I was thinking about this. I was reading even again today some stuff on chapter number 24. And the servant done exactly what the master told him to do. He didn't question it. He done exactly what the master told him to do. The master told him to go to a certain place and do a certain thing, and that's exactly what that servant done. We made mention of this. That servant's name is never mentioned in chapter number 24, but he refers to his master 19 different times in chapter number 24. In other words, it really didn't matter who the servant was, but it did matter who the master was. Amen? And it really doesn't matter who you and I are, but it does matter who our master is tonight. Amen. And I am thankful for my master that allows me to serve him. Of course, we've been looking at this servant. Now this will be the third message, and really comparing him to you and I and the ministry that God has us to do in trying to get a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God does have something for each of us to do. God did not save us just to sit on a church pew and do nothing, but he does have a ministry for each one of us. We looked at this. We looked at the servant's sending here in chapter number 24, how Abraham sent that servant out. We looked at the servant's supply, how everything that that servant needed, the master supplied that to the servant. Then this morning, we looked at the servant's supplication. The servant's supplication. We began looking this morning in verse number 12, where the Bible said, and he said, "O Lord God of my master, I pray thee." We began looking and we looked at it, that servant's prayer this morning, and how you and I, it is so important, man, it is so important that we have a prayer life with our master. Amen. I want to say this to you tonight. You need to pray. Let me say it again. I got 3 amens. You need to pray. Amen. We've got to have that time with the Lord. As we began looking at the servant's supplication this morning, we saw in verse number 12 the person that he prayed to. It was the Lord God of Abraham. When you pray, you need to pray to the right master. Yeah, man, we don't need to pray to nobody but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. So we looked at the person that he prayed to. We looked at the particulars of his prayer. Whenever he prayed in verse number 14, he was very specific in his prayers. You say, "Well, preacher, God knows everything." You're exactly right, but I still think we should have a specific prayer when we pray to God. We could say, "God, meet all the needs." And yes, God knows what we're saying, but I believe God longs for that fellowship with us in our prayer time. Then we looked at this, the payoff of the supplication, the payoff of his prayer. What did God do? God answered the prayer that he prayed. Amen. God done exactly what he asked him to do. And I want to say to you tonight, it sure is good to see God hear and answer prayer. Amen. And we saw that this morning in the servant's supplication. Now I want you to stand with me tonight in Genesis chapter number 24, and we'll begin. Let's begin reading down about, let's just begin in verse number 15. The Bible said, and it came to pass, let's jump over a little bit for the sake of time. Let's just pick up verse number 22. And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and two bracelets of her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in my father's house, or in thy father's house, for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Malchar, which she bare unto Nahor." And the Bible said in verse number 25, she said moreover unto him, "We have both straw provider enough and room to lodge in." Verse 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord, and said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Now, Father, I love you tonight. Father, you know the need of the service. I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd strengthen us physically, God. I pray, God, that you'd touch our throat, God, as we preach tonight. I pray, God, that you'd touch our mind, God. Father, Lord, may we get clear understanding from your word. I pray, God, that you'd touch the hearts of the hearers tonight. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to look into these verses and continue this thought about the servant tonight. Whenever we come to verse number 22 and down through verse number 27, we'll find that the servant ends up asking this lady to go into the house, and we find that they end up going in, and this prayer that the servant has made to God, this supplication that he has made, we find that God ends up answering that prayer. I want to go into verse number 26 and start there. The Bible said this, and the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Bless me, the Lord God of my master Abraham." So we saw the servant sending, the servant supply, the servant supplication. But note this tonight. Number one, I want to look at the servant's salute. I want to look at the servant's salute. That word salute, here's what it means tonight. It means to pay respect to or honor by some formal act. In other words, it is to pay respect to somebody for what they have done. I thought about this. Whenever a soldier comes home, what do? They salute that soldier. They pay respect to that soldier. I began to think about this. Abraham has now sent his servant out. His servant has had the supplies that he's needed. His servant has prayed and asked God to meet the need that is before him. And what does God do? God meets that need. And what does the servant do after God meets that need? That servant takes time to pay respect to the Lord God of Abraham. What did the Bible say? The Bible said in verse 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Hear me and hear me well tonight. We serve a great God. Somebody say amen. We serve a loving God. We serve a God that saved us from hell. A God that saved us from this life of sin and a life in this world. And there's times that we go to God and we ask God for this and we ask God for that. We ask God to meet this need and we ask God to meet that need. And you know what we see God do on a regular occasion? We see God do exactly what we ask Him to do. Now hear me tonight, church. When God does that, when we make our supplication known to Him, when we pray to Him, when we beg Him to meet our needs, and He does that, here's exactly what we ought to do. We ought to bow an unworthy head in the presence of a holy God and worship Him. That's what He done. There was the servant salute. Man, He took time before He goes any further, before He does anything else. He took time to worship God. Oh, we're missing that today. We are missing that today. So many times we pray, and God, we pray in the midnight hour, in the storm of our life, and God does exactly what we ask Him to do. And so many times, man, we never take the time just to say, thank you, Lord. To say, I appreciate it, Lord. But know what this servant does. This servant knows that the master has sent him to do something. And boy, he prays and asks God, oh, would you help me? And God answers that prayer. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to never live in verse 26 and verse 27. When I see God do things, man, I want to be the first one to raise an unworthy hand and say, God, I sure do appreciate that. God, thank you for hearing my prayers. God, thank you for saving my lost loved one. Thank you for helping my family in the time of need. God, thank you for meeting every need in my life. I want to worship Him the way the servant did. He bowed his head and he worshiped. He bowed it so many times. I want you to hear me tonight. So many times we get caught up in verse number 14. We're constantly asking. Are you hearing me tonight? We're constantly asking. There's nothing wrong with asking, but may we never forget to give Him praise. May we never forget to worship Him. I see the servants salute. Look what he said. Watch this. Go to verse number 49. Verse number 49, the Bible said this. Now, he's already come into the house. They're there now. He's talked to Rebekah's dad. He's talked to Rebekah's mom, Rebekah's brother. Look what he says in verse number 49. And now, if you would deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go and let her be thy master's son's wife as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their word, watch this, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. He worships God before he ever gets to the Father's house. And after he gets to the Father's house, God answers another prayer in allowing Rebekah's father to give Rebekah to him. And you know what he does? As soon as God answers that prayer, what does the servant do again? The servant bows himself and worships God again. Man, what a model for us tonight. What a model for us tonight. Man, may we never, I know I'm being repetitive, but may we never forget to give God the praise when, hey, look, he hears and answers every one of our requests. He either says yes, no, or wait, but he hears and answers, calling to me, and I will answer thee. I see the servant salute. Let me show you something else tonight. I not only see the servant salute, but I see this tonight. We're going to back up to verse 22. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said this, and it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and two bracelets of for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Now, look what the Bible said in verse number 53. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah, and gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. I want you to see this tonight. Not only the servant salute, I want you to note with me for a minute tonight, and I'm going to slow down a little bit on this one, but I want you to note with me the servant's silver. The servant's silver. What did the Bible say in verse 22? That the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. The servant silver. Verse 53, jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment. To them gave he Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. I want you to look at something here. I looked at this and here's what I found out. Now the Bible said two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. So if there was two bracelets of 10 shekels weight, then here's what I found out. In today's day, in our currency of today, one shekel of gold in our currency of today was worth around $125 of our time today. So if you take 125, you math people here tonight, if you take 125 and times it times 10, how much do you have? 1250? Die here 13. $1,250. Now think about something. $1,250 in our day, back in their day. Think about how enormous this is. How huge this is. This is not just some little old cheap bracelet that they got down at the Walmarts in Jerusalem. Are you hearing me? And then an earring of a half shekel, which was a ring when you study it out, of a half shekel. In other words, this servant had a lot to offer from his master. Are you hearing me tonight? His master was not just some old rinky-dink somebody sitting back in a little old shack somewhere wondering where his next meal was going to come from. His master, can I say it this way, was very wealthy. And anything that Rebekah was ever going to have need of, his master was able to supply. The servant silver. In other words, the servant had a lot to offer Rebekah. Can I say something to you tonight? We have a lot to offer the people of this world. You say, well, preacher, I just don't have $1,250. $10 off. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is this. Any need that Rebecca had, the servant's master could take care of it. She was never going to have to want for anything. I know I said it this morning, but I'll say it again tonight. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The servant came bearing gifts from his master. No, I don't have gold to give this world, and I don't have silver to give this world, but I have something that is far more valuable than that. I have a peace that passeth all understandings. I have a word from the Lord to offer them tonight, and I sure am glad that when the master sends us out, we do have something to offer this world. That servant silver. I thought about this. I thought about when Rebecca saw that, no doubt, matter of fact, when you read it, she goes running into her mother and to her brother and shows it to them. No doubt, she was excited about it. But I thought about this. She's still got a journey, and I'll say more about that journey in just a second. She's got a journey that she's got to make back, and she does make that journey back. I wonder if she's riding that camel back. They probably didn't make it all in one day. And maybe she got tired along the way. Maybe the servant kindly slid back there where she was at. Or maybe the night has fallen, and just maybe they're sitting around the campfire warming that night before they lay their heads down to go to sleep. And Rebecca begins to think in her mind, I wonder if this journey's really worth this. She's never even met Isaac. She's never met him in person. You see, everything she's doing through the eye of faith. Sounds a lot like you and I, does it not? Maybe that servant walks over there, sits down beside Rebecca, says, "What are you upset about? What are you crying about?" And Rebecca says, "Well, I was just thinking about this journey, and it's been a little bit tough." And maybe the servant reaches down in his pocket or walks over to the camel and gets one of the saddlebags off and walks back over there and opens that saddlebag up. And maybe he pulls out another bracelet, or maybe he pulls out another necklace, or maybe he pulls out another ring and says, "Look, all of this is from the master, and it's just a little bit of what's to come. If you'll just stay faithful, if you'll just stay with me, oh, it's just a little bit of what to come." Hear me and hear me well. I'm glad there's times along this journey that I can sit down around the fire of God, and the Holy Spirit passes through and lets me know this is just a little bit of what's to come one day. Oh, I see that servant silver. He had something to offer them. And I want to say something to you tonight. I'm about to die. We have something to offer this world. Hear me tonight. I don't understand. Last night, it was late last night, probably 9:30, 10 o'clock. Leslie and I started to leave from Miss Helen's, and we got to the back door, and Miss Tanya, Miss Hannah had slipped out. We was just talking to them two for just a minute. We hadn't really been able to talk to them by themselves. There'd been so many people around. We began to talk there, just the four of us, for a little bit. And Hannah was talking about how God had given her peace, how that she was going to miss her grandmother, but God had given her peace, and how through the messages over the past three nights, God had given her exactly what she needed for this. Miss Tanya looked at us and she said, "You know, tonight or last night was exactly what we needed to hear, that we are going to make it." And she said, "Preacher," she said, and she looked at Miss Leslie and she said, "Miss Leslie, I don't understand how somebody in this world makes it without Him. I just don't understand." She said, "There's no way There's no way I could keep my sanity without him right now. She said, but I sure am glad that he's right here with us. Hear me tonight. The servant had something to offer the bride-to-be one day. Oh, yeah, I see the servant silver. Let's move on. Let me give you another thing tonight. I see the servant salute. He worshiped the Lord. I see his silver. But then I see this. Now stay with me right here. Don't die on me. I see the servant setback. I didn't get one amen right there. I see the servant setback. Look in verse. Go with me to verse number. Let's just start in verse 54. The Bible said her mother with precious things, verse 54 picks up. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. Look what the Bible said in verse number 55. I see a setback. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto him, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. Now, I want you to see something with me tonight. The Lord has a work for us to do. Matter of fact, a lot of commentators that I read after on this said that her brother was a type of the world. And the Lord sends us out. The Lord supplies our need. We pray. He answers the prayer. We glorify him. God gives us something to offer the world. And you know what happens, man? Just like I said the other night, we come out of that meeting in Marion, and man, we was ready to turn the world upside down. And what happened? Man, I'm just going to be honest. It seemed like that all hell broke loose on us. Man, I'm telling you, January the 2nd, that Sunday night, man, we give the plan for the church for the new year, what all that we wanted God to do and how we was planning on doing that and how God had given us scripture about this and about that. And you know what happened? Man, it seems like all the world comes against us. Look what happens right here. There was a setback. The brother said, no, just hold on a minute. No, I want you to understand something. He never said she couldn't go. He said just wait a little while before she does go. Can I tell you something? The devil will never tell you not to serve God. He'll just tell you to wait till tomorrow to serve God. The devil will never tell you not to get saved. He'll just tell you to wait till tomorrow to get saved. If you're sitting here tonight, and boy, I'm praying about this. I don't want to lose no more families, but I'm praying about this. I'm praying God will call some more preachers out of our church this year. And if you're sitting here tonight and God has been fingering around in your heart about preaching the glorious gospel of God, hear me tonight. The devil will never tell you not to preach. He'll just tell you to wait a little while to preach. There will always be the devil fighting against us. There was his setback. The devil, I believe this, used her brother to try to keep the will of God from happening. Now think about this. What if she, or what if she had said, which we're fixing to find out, that didn't happen, but what if she had said, okay, we'll wait 10 days, and what if the servant hadn't said nothing about that, and because the servant says more, he don't just buy that, he don't just accept that. Are you with me tonight? What if she had said, we're going to wait 10 days, and he would have said, okay, we'll wait 10 days, and she died 2 days later? Then what the master sent him to do would have never been accomplished. Even though God had answered every bit of the prayers, if he had not stayed continuously pursuing what the master sent him to do, he would have never accomplished what the master had for him to accomplish. And how many times in our life does the master have something for us to do? But a little bit of conflict comes in our way and we just throw up our hands. I've said this many times. I wonder how many people in Nineveh died the 3 days Jonah wasn't there. I wonder how many people died and went to hell in Nineveh the 3 days that he wasn't there. You know what will happen? You'll begin to witness to somebody and tell them about the Lord, and they'll just say, well, I'm just not interested in hearing that right now. Okay. And you'll turn around and walk off. What if that was the devil trying to keep you from doing what God sent you there to do? The master did not, the servant didn't do that. Look what he says in verse number 56. He said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. He said, God's done answered all my requests. God's brought us this far. Don't stop me from doing what God wants me to do. Send me away that I may go to thy master. Look in verse 57. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. She said, I will go. Even though her road, her reception, and her reward was concealed, she still said, hear me, I will go. Can I just say this to you? When I first got saved, my road, my reception, and my reward may have been concealed, but I said, I will go. Amen. I will go. I thought about this. She was willing to choose. She was willing to change. And she was willing to commit to what God had for her life. Now at that moment, she could have said, nope, I'm not going. And the servant could have left and went back, having done all he could do, and still stood before his master with a clear conscience. Did you hear what I just said? The servant could not make Rebekah come with him. Rebekah had to make that choice. Now I say that to say this to you tonight. We are not called to save the lost. We cannot save the lost. I cannot save one person. You know what we're called to do? We're called to go to them. We're called to share the silver with them. We're called to give the gospel to them. But then that choice falls back on them. He did not allow the devil getting in his way to stop. I see this. I see the servant salute. I see the servant silver. I see the servant setback. But note this, number 4, and I'll be done. Or if you've kept notes of all of it, it's number 7. I want you to see the servant satisfaction. I want you to see the servant satisfaction. This servant was satisfied. Look what the Bible said. Pick up in verse number 60 with me and we'll close out. Verse number 59. And they sent away Rebekah. Miss Tina, if you want to come start playing softly. They sent away Rebekah, their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsel, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahora, and he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and she saw Isaac. She lighted off the camel, not smoking it. She got off the camel. All right, she wasn't lighting off a camel to smoke. Look in verse 65. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? Who is that guy right there? The Bible said, and the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The servant's satisfaction. You say, preacher, what are you saying? What a satisfaction. What a happiness. What a joy. What a gladness run through the heart of the servant when he saw Isaac and Rebekah get married and become husband and wife. He had to think, man, I sure am glad I done what the master told me to do. What a happiness was in his soul. He was satisfied because there was a wedding took place. And you said, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? I want to say this to you. Have you ever led somebody to the Lord? Man, what a satisfaction. Have you ever prayed, God, would you save somebody? And you called that person's name, and you prayed it, and you witnessed to them, and you told them about the Lord. And all of a sudden, y'all remember Wednesday night, don't you? Old Peyton said, preacher, before we go, I need to say something. I said, all right. And you know what he said? My uncle got saved. My uncle got saved. He's not going to hell no more. My uncle's saved. Man, tears swelled up in his eyes. Matter of fact, the night after it happened, old Peyton FaceTimed us. He told me and Leslie and the girls about his uncle getting saved. Boy, he was excited. We was shouting on the phone and praising God on the phone. You know what it was? It was a satisfaction. Why? Here's the reason why. Because the master had sent him out to do something. And the master had given him all the supplies that he needed to do it. And he had prayed. Hadn't prayed. And you know what? The master gave him some silver that he could present to the bride-to-be. And you know what? There may have been times along the way that the devil tried to set him back. But God prevailed in that. And what a satisfaction it is when we see God answer our prayers and others is brought into the family of God. Oh yeah, what a satisfaction to the servant. No doubt, he sat back with a smile on his face, Dakota, and said, well, hallelujah. Amen, I done what the master told me to do. And now the master's son has a bride. I thought about this. I'm right now done, but I thought about this. You read chapter 25. Go down through chapter 25. Come over into verses number 24, 25, and 26. There's the birth of Esau and Jacob. You know whose mom and daddy that is? Isaac and Rebekah. I thought about this. I wonder if that servant's still alive. Isaac's 40 years old when that happens. I wonder if that servant's still alive. And if that servant was still alive, I wonder maybe if them boys get a little age on them where they can understand a little bit. That servant comes by to see them. Says, hey, boys, come here. Let me tell you something. Sits down with them and says, I'm the one that introduced your mom and daddy to each other. Let me tell you how it happened. His daddy sent me out to find him a bride. And I done that. And now they, watch this. Now they are producing. You're not getting it. Now they are producing. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. You want me to tell you something that will light your fire? Not just to lead somebody to the Lord, but after you lead somebody to the Lord, down the road, that individual call you and say, hey, can I tell you about something? That's one of my old buddies that I used to run around with. And boy, I went to praying for them that God would save them. And guess what I just had the opportunity to do? I just had the opportunity to take my Bible and lead them to the Lord. And when they were, oh yes, that one that you brought into the bride begins to produce out of them. My soul, what a satisfaction it is in serving the Lord. This servant tonight in Genesis 24, I want to be like that servant. I want to be like him. I want to pray. The master's given us everything that we need for this walk of life. Every battle that you're going to face, the master's given you everything that you need for that. Every hardship. Is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? Every hardship. There's grace that is sufficient. He's already given it all to us.